Chapter 9. A Decision is Made. Miles now knew that I was afraid of contacting his guardian. I had known that I ought to discuss the boy being expelled from school with my employer, but that was connected with the horrors at Bly, and I had not been able to face it. Now Miles had made it clear to me that he knew this and had a plan to make me act. I could not make myself follow the boy into the church. I could not bear to sit next to him in silence for an hour. I could not bear for him to hold my arm again in order to remind me of our conversation. I wanted to get away from him. I walked round the church, thinking about what to do. As I paused beneath one of the high windows, I listened to the sounds from inside the church, and suddenly felt that I had to get away from Bly, at least for a while. This was my chance. There was no one to stop me. I could get away at least until dinner. In my head, I could already hear the voices of my little pupils asking innocently when I returned, "Why didn't you come into church with us? What did you do, you naughty bad thing?" I realized that I could not answer their questions or look into their false little lovely eyes as they spoke to me. I left the church and went back through the park to Bly. By the time I reached the house, I had decided that I would leave and never come back. None of this was my fault, so why should I stay here? Filled with anxiety, I suddenly sat down at the bottom of the stairs, bending forward and putting my head in my hands. Then, I suddenly stood up again, as I remembered that this was exactly where, a month ago, I had seen the ghost of that awful woman. She had sat in the same position as I was sitting now. When I felt better, I went the rest of the way upstairs to the schoolroom to collect my things. And there, as I opened the door, I saw in front of me something which immediately changed my mind about leaving Bly. Sitting at my own table, in the clear light of midday, was the figure of a woman. If I had not had my past experience, I would have thought it was a servant, a young woman who, thinking the house was empty, was using my pen and paper to write a letter to her lover. She looked dreadfully tired as she bent over the paper, with her head on one hand. Then she rose up from the chair, although it did not seem as if she had heard me come in. And at that moment, only a few feet from me, stood the previous governess. Dark as midnight in her black dress, she was both evil and tragic. She looked at me as if to say, "This is my desk, just as much as it is yours." I had a sudden cold feeling that it was me who should not be there. I heard myself shrieking at her, "You terrible woman!" She looked at me as if she had heard me. But in less than the time it has taken to write this, she faded away and was gone. There was nothing in the room the next minute but the sunshine and my understanding that I must stay at Bly. When the children returned from church, they did not say anything about me not being there. Since I was expecting them to ask me where I had been, I felt upset. Mrs. Gross did not ask me either, so I was sure that they had also told her not to say anything. Having decided that I must ask her about this silence, I went to the housekeeper's room just before tea. When I think of her now, I see her in this clean, tidy room, with its smell of newly baked bread and the bright flames of its small fire. She stood up from her chair by the fire when I came into the room and asked my question. "Oh, yes, the children asked me to say nothing," she said. "And of course, I promise not to. But what had happened to you?" I only went with you to enjoy the walk, I said. Then I had to come back to meet a friend. She looked surprised and spoke a bit rudely.
A friend? You?
Oh, yes, I have a couple of friends, I laughed. But did the children explain why they didn't want you to say anything?
Yes, they said you'd like it better. Do you like it better?
She could see from my face that I did not. No, I like it worse, I said. Did they say why I would like it better?
No, Miles just said, we must only do what she likes. And after that, Flora said charmingly, of course, of course.
I'm sure that you were all very charming, I said. But everything is understood between Miles and me now.
Everything is understood? The housekeeper repeated. What do you mean, miss?
Well, everything. But it doesn't matter. I've decided what to do, I said. I came home to talk to Miss Jessel, my dear. I spoke firmly to Mrs. Gross, as I always did when I introduced the subject of the ghosts.
Talk? Do you mean she spoke? She said.
It was as if she did, I said. I found her when I returned from church in the schoolroom.
And what did she say?
I can still hear, even now, how surprised and horrified Mrs. Gross sounded. That she suffers what wicked people suffer after their death.
Oh!
The housekeeper cried. And that's why she wants to share what she suffers with. I had to stop speaking for a moment because I was so horrified. Mrs. Gross, who did not have as much imagination as me, made me continue.
She wants to share what she suffers with, she said.
With Flora. She wants Flora, I said. Hearing this, Mrs. Gross nearly fell, but I held her and said, But, as I've told you, it doesn't matter.
Because you've decided what to do. But what have you decided to do?
To write to their uncle, to bring him here.
Oh, miss, please do,
my friend cried. I will. I do not doubt that it's the right thing to do, I said. What is understood between Miles and me is this. Miles thinks I'm afraid to contact his uncle, but the boy must understand that he's making a mistake, and I must tell his uncle about the headmaster's letter before Miles tells him that he wants to be educated at school, that he doesn't want to be taught by me.
You'll show the letter to his uncle, said Mrs. Gross.
Yes! Oh, why didn't I do that as soon as I read it? I replied. But I must do so now.
Oh, no! She cried.
I will tell him that he cannot expect me to find another school for a boy who has been expelled.
But we don't even know why. He was expelled for being a bad influence on the other boys, for being a danger to them, I said firmly. He's clever and beautiful and perfect, so he has learned to be a bad influence. He has been corrupted, and it's his uncle's fault. If he hadn't left Miles and Flora here with those two wicked people, the children wouldn't have been corrupted. Mrs. Gross's face went very pale, and she interrupted me. It's my fault, she cried. The master didn't know those people very well, and I didn't tell him about their wicked ways.
Well, I won't let you suffer, I answered.
And I won't let the children suffer, she replied firmly.
I was silent for a while. We looked at each other. Then what am I going to tell him? I said.
You needn't tell him anything. I'll tell him, she said.
I remembered that she could not write. How will you do that? I asked.
I have someone who writes my letters for me, she replied.
And would you really like this person to write our story to the master? I said. I had not meant to sound so rude, but when she understood the question, tears came into her eyes. She said,
Oh, miss, you write.
Well, I will do that tonight, I said at last, and left her room.